Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S.? With more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., they have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce 4 uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com. And we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show. I certainly don't think we could talk about this story on YouTube. Milwaukee elections official fired after requesting multiple mail-in ballots. Here's the simple version of the story. They think she was trying to prove that it was extremely easy to commit ballot fraud, voter fraud. And so she requested mail-in ballots with fake names and got them and sent them to a Republican. And now she's been fired and may face criminal charges. There you go. Big news.
Proving how easy it is to commit a crime by committing the crime.
Yeah, that's not really a smart thing to do. Did she explain herself, or like, is there an official explanation to why she did this?
I don't know, but I think it's good in the end. I would not recommend anyone do something like this, but now we can see the evidence of how easy it was. She kind of like threw herself on the grenade, right?
Yeah.
Because one of the problems with all of this voter stuff is that unless you get hard evidence, you can see circumstantial evidence, but it's always going to be dismissed. For her to do this, okay, now we know it's extremely easy. We have the whistleblower in Florida claiming it is happening. So now there are questions about ballot harvesting and fake ballots. So what's next? We're going to come Tuesday. Pennsylvania is going to be locked for 2 or 3 days. We're not going to know who won. Yep. And then they're going to come back and be like, oh, we found a bunch of ballots. And Fetterman wins.
51-49. You guys want
to
take?
You mean 50.1 to 49.9.
Yeah, 50.0001 to 49.999.
I think we need to follow the Constitution and have one vote, one election day. Election day, that's it. Sorry.
Until it is free software, the voting machines, there's no way. There's no way to prove anything.
One day, make it a holiday. One day. No early voting. No mail-in voting. No. You come in, you vote. That's it.
But like hand your documents to some rando that does it in a back room somewhere and just trust the process again.
What do you mean? Like, no, you walk up to your paper. You fill it out. You stick it in the machine and the machine's locked.
Yeah. And there's volunteers from both political parties usually there that watch everything that goes on.
Yeah.
They don't see the code in the background.
That's why I'm saying no code. Paper ballots.
Bleep, blah.
Paper.
Paper.
Yeah. And a receipt.
Give some people some jobs.
Just yeah, give some people some jobs.
You guys don't have jobs. It's the idea.
Paper ballots. What do you guys think is going to happen on Tuesday, huh?
It's going to be interesting. I do see a lot of postponements, and I do see not a lot of decisions early on. I mean, it's been like that with the last elections that we've seen. I think it's fair that we're going to see it again.
They're going to go, look, these Democrats are doing so great. But what I'm hearing is that in many of these key areas, though, there's no backlogged mail. So maybe not this time. I don't know.
Yeah, but did they count it? They received it, but did they count it? So I could see Republicans winning, but all the votes aren't in. And then 2 o'clock in the morning, oh, now all the votes are going to be counted here that were mailed in. And mail-in ballots are usually the ones that are Democratic.
When?
I saw this funny tweet that was saying how, you know, Fox has already called Arizona for Hobbs. It's like, I think it depends on what state you're in and what the media does, because I think we are going to have a big red wave. Many places, I think we are going to know who won. But I think Pennsylvania, like, they're already warning us. It's going to take days.
Yeah.
They're not going to tell us. So it's like, okay, this is a close race. So I don't know how that's going to shake out. I guess if these mail-in ballots show up, I mean, I don't know, because Pennsylvania also has, like, they don't have the kind of strict rules that other states have. So I think Pennsylvania is going to be really questionable. But I think other states, we're going to see results.
Yeah, I don't like that, the mail-in process, how they know how many more votes they need to win, or you know, after day one, how many more votes need to come in to switch to your candidate of your choice. So you can just be like, hold on a second.
Yeah, Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's, you know what I'm going to say.
In Florida, in Miami-Dade, here's the latest data, the Republicans are still up about 1,500 votes. No, 2,500 votes. So that's early. The Democrats are up in the mail-in votes, but the early votes are like 30K in favor of Republicans. It's going to be interesting. I wonder how long it'll take until someone goes fucking nuts. Like, I don't know. We might see Republicans win in Oregon or Washington, I think they're saying.
New York, even, potentially.
New York?
Like Republicans, yeah.
Oh, Zeldin,
the governor,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know about Schumer losing, but
yeah,
it could get crazy, man. Could get crazy.
Which is why it's like, if we have this big red wave, maybe they'll try to save face. Like, oh, Pennsylvania is too close to call. Mm. It's like, I don't know. I think that if it was just such a devastating loss for them on every front, like, how will they recover? And that's probably why they're putting out all these articles saying, oh, we have these big losers on our side. That's what the Democrats are saying, because they think they don't want to be proven as these like horrible pollsters, because if they get in front of it, even if it's just the last couple of days, saying like, oh, it's going to be good for Republicans, then they don't have to act like they were wrong, even though for like the last couple months they've been saying that this isn't going to happen. Now they're changing their tune at the last minute.
Yep. Apocalyptic.
No, I mean, it's if
you know, it'd be really
depends
funny
on how deep you are in the liberal economic order. What's
it'd be funny if like if Republicans get like a small narrow win, no one cares, the news dies down, Democrats are just like, eh, whatever, and then nothing really changes because Biden has veto power, and then everyone forgets the midterms happen, like no fanfare, no red wave, just whatever. That'd be the funniest.
Yeah, it would be funny if they didn't cover it much. They just like let it pass. Maybe that would happen. Either they're going to totally break down, like Trump derangement syndrome, like, I can't believe this occurred. Maybe they'll be the election deniers, or they're just going to pretend it didn't happen and pretend like everything's fine.
Well, if the Democrats lose, they're going to be like, it's rigged, they stole it. And then if the Republicans lose, they're going to be like, it's rigged, it's stolen. And
then what? Someone pulls a gun?
I hope not.
The Bulwark wrote that their fear is that there's going to be Republicans and Democrats at polling stations, obviously. There's going to be a state like Texas or something where Republicans armed. There's going to be poll watchers who think they're seeing fraud. So they start telling someone to stop. The guy says, fuck you. A fight breaks out. They struggle. Someone gets shot. And then the polling location gets shuttered. I'm saying, like, what happens if a fight breaks out? They shut down a polling station. How can we have a legitimate election if polling stations are being shut down? So the Bulwark, you know, we love them, right? They're saying, like, this could be it. How do we even have the midterms after 2020? How do you even have an election? People are going
to
lose it.
I don't want that to happen either. But like we were talking about the violence against just anyone wearing a MAGA hat. So it's like we're already in a place where there's like this crazy political violence. So we don't want that to happen. But also, I mean, what's the solution? Not to vote? Like we want people to vote. We want people to go out and do that. So, I mean, hopefully things are okay. But I don't think we can just let them intimidate us.
We'll get off. You've beaten the dead horse, I guess. We can only sit back and wait. Tomorrow's Friday. It'll be interesting. Yeah. But, you know, you got a book about God, and Ian was trying to ask about that earlier. So
Yeah. But if you want to ask, you were talking about Occupy Wall Street right before we started. Do you want to ask that question? You had some questions about that?
Yeah. No, we can totally talk about both. God book I actually wrote when I was in high school. So I was 17 when I wrote that book. So it's been a little while, but I think all of the things apply today. And basically talking about how I think young people have become so lost and so cynical. Back then, it was really atheism, I think, was the big thing. I would say now it's more like for a lot of young people, their political thing or spiritualism is their religion. These woke causes, that's their new religion. It's kind of like leftism wants to replace the church with basically their own views. Whereas I think for a lot of right wingers, it's maybe it's freedom or maybe it's Christianity, something else kind of defines your views. And then you see, you know, politics comes downstream from that. But I think for the left, for them, that like their cause is number one. But anyway, so yeah, that was really talking about how I think we need to dive deeper into really exploring, you know, could there be a God? Could there be a God who cares? What kind of explains this universe? Is there a fine-tuned universe with a creator? But you're asking about Occupy Wall Street. Yeah, I was asking you guys before this, you know, do you feel like your views have changed or do you feel like your views are the same, but it's just politics has changed and now they fall on a different spectrum?
Well, Occupy Wall Street represented originally an idea that were pushing back against Barack Obama and the banker bailouts after the 2008 housing market crisis. So you saw a coalescing of Ron Paul, libertarians, leftists, right wingers, even in some elements that all came together. And then, of course, that was taken over. But originally, it was a great way to debate ideas, have conversations. People would come down and have huge debates. And it was interesting. And then a bunch of celebrities came down. And then the police kind of came in and started cracking skulls and got everyone talking about it. So, I mean, my ideas, I have basic ideas. I believe in personal freedom and personal responsibility and personal liberty. They haven't changed.
I changed ever. A little bit. I went to Occupy Wall Street because I was very upset with the banking industry in general, the way that they used Barack Obama to bail themselves out with our tax money. I'm still pissed off about it. But I was also a collectivist at the time. I was very into collectivism, the idea that we together as a group can make things happen, which you can. It's called a mob. And I've realized lately it's less about trying to help other people and more about helping myself be the best self, inspire people to help themselves so that people can become their best self.
Capitalism.
And capitalism is a great way to do it.
Exactly.
Oddly enough, I don't like the idea that the only way to make money in a capitalist system is to take it from someone else or to print more of it and then devalue everyone's.
That's not true.
How else can you acquire money?
They really killed the idea of charity because they tax us so much. People feel like, oh, I've already done everything for others. I just don't care about people. It's like, no, actually, we used to have a society where I think where people were much more focused on their community and people actually felt close to their neighbors. They felt like, you know, I actually know the people that are around my children and so on. And so I think there was much more charity involved, people actually getting involved in, you know, hospitals, helping out, especially wartime, you know, going out and actually serving. I think that's so lost because the government's just ruined it by becoming too large.
Yeah. I used to, when I was in New York, I was like, I would just pick up trash. If I was walking down the street and I saw a piece of trash, I'd pick it up. It only lasted a day or two. But I was like, if I could just do that, maybe that's like the first step of inspiring other people to do it. And then all of a sudden you have a clean city.
Cities are disgusting. And that's the problem. It's a bunch of goody two shoes, arrogant elitists who want to tell everyone else how to live, but won't actually clean the shit off their own backyard.
Do you guys think a lot of Occupy Wall Street people are like right wingers now?
Yes, they are.
They are. Yeah.
So when I went to the Deplorable, I had two people walk up to me like, they're all big fans. And I was like, really? I was like, I didn't realize like some like Trump supporters. And they were like, no, we're Occupy. And I was like, you are? And they were like, yeah, we were at Occupy Wall Street. Now we're for Trump. And I was like, why? And they were like, well, we were for Bernie. But then Bernie got knocked out. Trump's the next best thing. And I was like, OK. And then I heard that in Anaheim, there were these three guys and said they were Bernie supporters because Bernie was a union guy and Bernie wanted to bring jobs back to this country. Well, when he got knocked out, they said Trump's the next best thing. They got chased, beaten, and spit on.
You mean when Bernie got screwed over by Hillary Clinton and robbed.
And then dropped to his knees.
And then kissed a ring. Yep.
When Barack Obama decided to sign the Trans-Pacific Partnership and was planning to basically sell us out to Malaysian oil companies, I don't know if you're familiar with the investor-state dispute settlement clause in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is insane. It said that if we, as American citizens, discriminated against a Malaysian oil company, said we don't want to buy their oil for whatever reason, it's too dirty, it's too far, it's too expensive, that they could sue our government for discrimination, and then we would have to pay, as taxpayers, the corporation in Malaysia. And then Barack Obama was fine with that. And that was the moment I realized there's something nefarious going on. I started to see a liberal economic order. And the only people I could see was Bernie that didn't want it. And then it was Trump. I don't think Trump's right wing. I just think he's like this wild liberal guy from the 80s and 90s that's like couldn't get into the Democratic Party because they were like co-opted by the liberal establishment
you know, this banking order.
Well, he's a billionaire. They'd never vote for him.
Yeah, they wouldn't have him. And so he hadn't, the other next best option was the Republican Party, but he's like, could have started his own political party. He never really struck me as left or right. He's kind of like an independent businessman.
It's Republican or Democrat. Those are the vehicles.
I also think like JFK, like all these people who like used to be liberal, it's like they'd be conservative today.
Conservative? So, JFK would be like a Nazi. Well, by the left standard.
I'm just saying like these people who are hardcore leftists, like they're not like classical liberals, you know? Like,
of course not.
I think
they
like,
hate classical
we
liberals.
Are classical liberals, like actually having discussions and actually believing in things. But but I think, you know, it makes sense actually that a lot of people because, oh, were you guys excited during the GameStop thing?
Oh, yeah.
In Melvin Capital. I was so pumped. I was like, yes. And I really wanted to really like root for them. But I don't know. It was crazy. That was so exciting. I feel like that would have been an exciting time here at the show.
Did you get on the stomps?
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. We made a shirt.
I wanted to, but I didn't. I missed that.
We have a shirt. It's a gorilla holding cash.
Are you in Doge right now?
I'm not. I'm very not knowledgeable about crypto. I'm like the worst person to ask about crypto.
Did I lose all my money yet?
I don't have any crypto. I don't know if I should. I feel like it's really volatile. Like Bitcoin was up here, then it's like worth nothing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a risky game.
It's not the place to make. I would not advise it as a money maker.
And then like, you know, Facebook's all like, oh my gosh, everyone's going to be obsessed with metaverse. Now it's like, nobody cares about metaverse. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like sometimes something becomes a fad. And then by the time it's a fad is when I've heard about it. So I'm like, I just don't know if it makes sense. Because then it just
metaverse
changes.
Is coming. Now, let's talk about God. You want to talk about metaverse. The consciousness and controlling what people think and see.
I'm up 12% on graphene.
Hell yes, dude.
Yeah.
Graphene.
That's cool.
The metaverse is going to be, I don't know if it'll become like an augmented experiential reality where you can see and perceive
Let me freak you out. They did an experiment where they hooked up these massive, powerful magnets to people's brains, to their heads, and then turned them on. And people said they felt the presence of God when they were blasted by like insane amounts of magnetism. They will put you in their Neuralink metaverse, and then they will simulate that feeling and tell you that they are God.
They could also change your feelings.
Is your mic off?
They could also change your feelings and emotions with magnets as well.
Yep.
I heard that's what people said in the 60s when they would take LSD and stuff. Like, oh my gosh, this is like a spiritual experience or something. It's like, I just think that that's crazy. I mean, this is like acting like something that's obviously like of this world is something spiritual. I don't know. I mean, it's altering your brain.
I think what's happening is it's always there. God's always there, but we've become desensitized to it because we have to grab apples to consume, to eat. We need to stay warm. So we're like, but when you take the psychedelic, it strips away the human part and you're just tapped to the animal. And so you sense it. It's called the
God helmet.
And I think the God way to do that would actually be fasting. Where the Bible says, you know, take a period of time for fasting so you're not focused on, like, physical needs. Like, I'm hungry, like, all this stuff. I don't know if that's comparable, but I think that's how people did it for thousands of years as opposed to the drugs.
And breathing.
I was wrong.
Allotropic breathing.
Correction. It's a low-intensity magnetic field. Very weak magnetic fields made people have mystical experiences in altered states while wearing the God helmet.
Is this transcranial... stimulation?
I have no idea.
Transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, TCMS, where they put two electrodes. I don't know the exact process. And the exact
TMS.
Brain.
It says comparison with transcranial magnetic stimulation.
I don't think people should do any of this stuff. I think people can connect to God without all of this.
So you're saying fasting. Have you taken
psychedelics? No, not necessarily through fasting. And no, I have not taken psychedelics. I just think... If we believe there is a God who cares, who's accessible to us, I think through prayer, through all of those things, we can reach him without any like external stimuli on us.
There's a lot of theories and also a lot of symbology when it comes, symbolism, when it comes to religion. I caught myself on that one. I keep saying symbology instead of symbolism. Especially when it comes to psychedelic mushrooms and to religion. I think Ian knows a lot about this, but there's a theory out there that religion was kind of made predominantly because of psychedelic mushrooms. What do you think about that theory? Have you looked into it? And I don't know. Debate.
Yeah. I don't agree with the theory. I think that's kind of like people come up with theories like Jesus was gay. You know, these people were all on drugs. Everyone's maybe living in like another world where it's like Inception. I just think it's kind of it doesn't really make any sense based on any of the text and also based on any third-party accounts. If you look into historical accounts of Jesus or the Bible, for example, I do think that there have been like mystics over time. Like that's happened. That's been like a thing. But I just don't think that that's like the way that we would rely on to access God. Because today I have a friend. She's like super into crystals, astrology, wellness. But in the reality, the people selling her all of that crap are people that like literally just like buy it on Amazon and like give it to her and tell her it's going to change her life. So I don't know about all of this like, you know, crystals and just things like that. Yeah. I would not promote it.
There is power in the placebo that can't be explained by science as well. You know.
Yeah, not by the scientific method. It can't be replicated. They don't understand why believing something has a tendency to make it real for your body. Like physiologically, if you think you're sick, that your body would become sick. Or if you think you're healthy, your body becomes more healthy. Mm. That, I think the consciousness is very powerful. And it might have something to do with crystals because your bones are crystal. They're a crystal called hydroxyapatite. And crystals tend to vibrate. And if you vibrate one crystal, a crystal across the room will also start to vibrate. So I'm wondering if there's like, and sound, you know, sound can vibrate your bones. And this is, here's a crystal here. I wonder if there's like a, your thoughts can actually vibrate your body and your crystals and then cause your DNA to, basically your DNA is going to, they're going to react to external stimuli, whether that's a vibration, it can turn DNA on and off. So
bone is primarily hydroxyapatite crystals interspersed with collagen matrix.
Really?
65 to 70% of the bone mass is hydroxyapatite.
Crystal. I think my friend would like to think those things make her life better, but I don't know if they have, which is why I'm not sure the placebo effect works, because it's kind of like a girl saying like, oh my gosh, I really want a boyfriend, and they keep thinking they're going to meet someone and then they don't. It's just like, I don't know if you can just like make things happen based off of like telling yourself. I think motivation's good, but it's just like, it's just nothing to it.
Last year, I'd been single for a long time, and I asked my mom last year, tell me I'll find the girl of my dreams. She's like, you'll find the girl of your dreams. And then I found her. Well, she found me, but she had already found me. I just didn't know. I wasn't looking for it until I believed I was going to see it. Then all of a sudden I'm looking for it, and I was ready for it when it appeared. Not that it caused it, but it was that it put me in a state where I was able to see it.
You got to check those Instagram DMs.
That's right.
Always be watching the chat. If you're looking for someone, they're out there. They're looking at you.
I know a lot of people in Hollywood believe in magic.
Oh yeah.
They literally do. They literally believe in it. That's why there's like a karma fear they have. They always like, you know, they'll give big tips because they're scared that it'll be taken away from them mm-hmm. if they do something wrong. But they genuinely believe they have control over reality.
Wow. Yeah. They really think they're God, basically, because they're celebrities. And a lot of them became famous out of nowhere. Like they did a show as a child and they're like, oh my gosh, now I'm worth millions of dollars. It's like, okay, look, that may have happened for you. But most people know. And so I think that also Hollywood is a cesspool and they have a lot of weird stuff that goes on there. Like just weird stuff, like drugs, sexual stuff, like bad religious things.
Satanic pedophiles.
They don't think they're God. They don't believe God exists. They don't believe that there is a grand order or creator. They just believe that they have some kind of magic power, influence over reality. They also believe each other people do. And not every single person. But I would say it's disproportionate. I mean, it's a hippie lefty thing too out in Hollywood where they're like crystals and vision boards and stuff. So like we've seen it. They think they have magic.
I think of it like a web. Like we're all little nodes on a web, on a giant web. And you can move your node, like your body, but you're still stuck in the web. You can technically vibrate the entire web with your own behavior. But to say that you are the web or that you control the web is kind of a nonsense. You're part of it.
I think another problem with it too is it's all about like being like everything's positive. It's like being your best self, like manifesting this and that. And I think that the first step in realizing like the greatness of God is realizing our own shortcomings and like the gap between us and God. Like we are so like we are tiny ants compared to God. And I think like wellness and all of this is basically saying like, oh, like we're going to be like, we're going to have this aura. We're going to be this and be that. And I just think that's kind of the opposite of, like, the fear of God.
Yeah.
And I think that's why so many people are.
The last thing you said.
Oh, no. Like, I think if God is great, if he is all-knowing, he's perfect, he's omnipotent, like, I'm not, you know?
Yeah,
we're having this gap between us and God. I think realizing that first is, like, essential. And if you think, oh, like, I basically am God. Like, we're equals, we're friends. Like, that's a completely different view of who God is.
Imagine an ant climbs out of its little ant hole, looks around and says, this is reality. There is nothing else. I know there's nothing else because I've not seen anything else, not smelled anything else. This is all there is. That's like, to me, atheists. They're just like, I don't believe that anything else could be because I looked around and I don't see it. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, after a certain point with like science, where we were like, hey, did you realize that what we can touch, smell, see, and hear is less than a millionth of reality? Like, there's radio waves. There's like infrared and ultraviolet light we can't even see. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that are imperceptible that what we can see and experience, even with technology, is microscopic in the grand scheme of things.
Have you pull up the cosmic microwave background radiation?
Oh, you love the cosmic.
Yeah, this is, I was pretty much agnostic my whole life until age 26. Radio telescopes. You're starting to see a web of radiation left over from the Big Bang.
Which one?
All these. This is all different images of this radiation. This is the universe.
Ian, no, it's not. It's not the universe. The issue is, you see how it's like round-ish?
Yeah.
We're making assumptions based off what we can see.
Right, this is the known universe, I should say. But this is what we can see.
It's not what we can see. We're making predictions. So we can see, I think the known universe that we can see is really, really tiny, and then we project this off of it. So here's a scary thought. We believe the universe is expanding. I think there was new data that came out recently that said it's not, and we were wrong about that, but I don't know enough to elaborate. If the universe is expanding and stars and galaxies and everything are moving further and further away, then at a certain point on Earth, humans will be born and they'll look up and see black for the sky. No stars, no nothing. They'll see planets, but nothing else. And they'll assume that there is nothing else. They will have no information to go off of to believe there is a universe because there's nothing to look at. That's crazy.
Yeah. You're saying that this is an extrapolation and not an actual radio telescope?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is an extrapolation. Like, how would we get a picture of the known universe, dude?
Radio telescopes? Big. I mean, I'm reading about it
way
now.
Way too big.
Shows a faint background brightness, glow.
Sure, sure.
Maybe they're extrapolating it to show what they think that means it looks like.
That's exactly the point.
But there is a radiative leftover resonance from the Big Bang makes me, and it looks like a neural pathway. Like, and you see it arcing through star systems, like electricity arcs through our heart, or like, and I don't know if it's electricity or whatever, but it's causing the heart, like sparking the heart. It's the same kind of energy.
And there are people who do this. They say, you know, human brain neural network.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Similar to the cosmic web.
Yeah, that's, and you know, things are fractal.
It's quantum realm.
It's
dude.
At least evidence that there's God. That we're like in like a God mind or something. I think, and that's when I started to think that maybe there's something out there. And then I started doing Reiki, and I was like, whoa, you actually have like radiative heat energy coming off you because you're magnetic, because your red blood cells are circulating iron, causing a magnetic field. I was like, whoa, dude.
Yes, and some people who have more midichlorians can feel the force.
I also was like tripping, not a lot, but I was taking psychedelics, smoking a lot of weed, and making internet videos and watching my own eyes for long periods of time, like going into trance, you know, when you're in like flow state and you don't really remember what you said, but you're flowing. Watching myself in that state, I started to sense, I gained control of my senses, and I thought maybe that's getting in touch with God. It's getting in touch with yourself. Or at least that's a good place to start. There's no more bullshit. You don't get confused by like distractive thoughts and patterns and stuff because you know who you are, and then you can sense God.
I just think it's weird. Like, I don't know how you can look around at the universe. You can look around at what we know of the universe. You can travel the world. You can read about history and then conclude that there's no God. I think the reality is the people who are atheists tend to be, not always. I know there's educated atheists, a lot of them. But I'm saying the average person who just doesn't believe or is confused just isn't researching, looking.
Yeah, what did you come across in your book? How do you dive into it?
Yeah, I title every chapter a question, like, is there a God who cares? Or can faith and reason be compatible? Could miracles really happen? Like, what's the historical proof of Jesus's existence? So I dive into like a mixture of like science, history, or just kind of like personal questions someone might have about God. But I do think it's kind of shifted from people who were atheists and looked at science and said there's no God to people who say like, oh, there is a God, but it's kind of just like spiritual, or God is kind of different than how we might see God. And I think like the greatness of God is getting diminished over time by young people in their minds. I think they think like, I don't know. I think the early pagans in some way saw it like this, like the earth is God. There's a sun God. Like we are like in God or something, like being one with God. I think that's really different from like looking outside of yourself and saying like, this is God. And like, I'm Danielle. And like, I want to be more like God. I need to like change. I need to like strive towards something, definitely. But like, there is a gap there.
Do you feel a gap in your personal life? Do you feel like you are God or that God is part of you?
I mean, I think if you can accept him for sure. But I wouldn't say that I am God or that is the case in any way. I think we have him in our lives if we choose to. Like I'm Christian, so I think like we can of course accept like Christ into our life, but I don't think that would make me him. I think that would make me like his son or daughter. So like I can follow him and like do those things and like believe that and like be as close to him as I can. But I still think people who even are very close to God, like Mother Teresa, she experienced the dark night of the soul. She like would write and be like, I feel so lost. I feel so far from God. But I think that's something that happens when Satan wants to attack you when you're doing God's work. So I do think there's like this interesting spiritual battle that goes on between good and evil. And it's not always saying like, oh, I just feel close to God all the time. And so sometimes you have doubt. Sometimes you have hardship in life. And sometimes even Jesus said, you know, Lord, why have you forsaken me? And so I think people go through different things in life. But I think turning back to God is always like the goal.
When I was really becoming like, believing in this energy or whatever this is, it was like I would go into spiraling depression because trying to coexist with this belief in this all-powerful superstructure, or at least this ever-present structure, but then also I have to kill animals to eat to survive. I've got to kill these things to survive. I need to capitalize off of my fellow man. I need to take their money. It felt so antithetical to God, to this peaceful co-creation. It's not necessarily peaceful. But
you don't take their money. Yeah. You exchange.
Well, you take my thing. I take your thing. It's still
called exchange.
Yeah,
I think that's also just part of being in a fallen world. Like after the fall, I think that's when we started feeling like, oh, we have to like kill animals and eat them and all of those things. But that's why they're here for us, like to survive. But I don't think it was like that if it weren't for, you know, like sin entering the world.
What do you mean fallen world?
Oh, like the fall, like from Adam and Eve. So like in the Garden of Eden, they had everything they needed, like food, water, shelter. Like they had each other. Like they were great. They never like needed for anything. They were like with God. And then after the fall, that's when all of a sudden
fucking
it was
Eve,
like,
man.
You know, like men are going to have hard backbreaking work. Women are going to have childbirth. Like there are going to be all of these wars, issues, like food, like problems.
Women, am I right?
Right. Look, you know, Adam, Adam's sitting
patriarchy
here.
Patriarchy propaganda.
Adam's chilling.
Eve was badass.
Adam's chilling. He's doing his thing, you know, mind his own business. Eve gets up and she's like, I'm going to eat that apple.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, I'm eating that apple. And he's like, but you're not supposed to eat it. And she ate it. What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, just follow the rules.
The apple was psilocybin. That's the secret. They tripped balls. Then they realized they were human. They didn't know they were human before that. They didn't know they were naked.
That's actually one of the conspiracy theories. I don't know. It's not a conspiracy, but like one of the wild theories that it's a reference to, they say great apes ate psilocybin and then knew, became sentient, realized. And that's why like she eats the apple. And then, you know, God says you have become one of us. And, you know, they clothed themselves because they understood they were naked and shit.
Dude, psilocybin... There's like not much more horrifying than overdosing on psilocybin. I don't know if you guys have ever overdosed on psilocybin.
I've never done psilocybin.
It's not pleasurable.
No comment.
Dude,
no
it comments. Is the darkest, like, demons. Twisting nether of, like, what am I destined for death? Like, crazy.
That like in Doctor Strange when Tilda Swinton, like, flicks him on the head and then he's, like, flying through the quantum realm and other dimensions.
And no. You feel like you're going to puke deeper. The whole time.
Yeah.
Deeper.
Yes.
Deeper.
So deeper. Deeper. I said deeper.
It's crazy, but a little bit is excellent, in my opinion.
Well, what's his name? Bill Hicks says you got to take a heroic dose.
Heroic dose.
In order to experience
God. I also feel
like
Adam and Eve, like they didn't know evil, but they were so curious about what that tree was and what God told them not to eat. So then he was like, okay, now you know. Now you know what evil is. So... I also think it's kind of like we always have this curiosity, like we want to know more. We want to like go to the dark side where we're not supposed to go. And then sometimes it's like, I think that's where just like the trust in God comes from, is saying like, you know, maybe I don't need to do that. Maybe I don't need to know.
Yeah, you get a choice. You get free will to figure things out. And one way I've described it is that life is like a sorting algorithm, that everybody is here and then you choose which path to go on. And when you die, you get sorted in or you get sorted out.
I've been thinking about doing ayahuasca ceremony. But I want to get like a parasite cleanse before I go, because I could imagine doing a deep psychedelic experience, but have like something in my body, having a spiritual battle with myself because of the parasite. But I see it as like a demon, and it's like hell on earth for 2 days straight.
Well, the proper way to do it is to, of course, cleanse right before you do it. That's the way that the shamans want.
And you should. And we're gonna wrap things up. Daniel, thanks for hanging out. It's been a blast.
Thank you guys for having me. This has been really fun.
Yeah, it was absolutely great. Thank you all so much for being members. We got some more work we still got to do, because we got this song coming out tomorrow. So losingmymind.com. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all next time.
Cheers.